Welcome to Sunday Showcase.
The following audio drama is rated G for general audiences.
How do I? I'll skip ahead a bit. No, I can't skip ahead. All right, everybody, into the time machine.
No, you don't understand how radio works. All I have to do to return this is fade my voice out like this and cue the organist. You see, here we are.
Wait a minute.
63 Audio presents the Old Time Radio Essentials Podcast.
Greetings all. Welcome to our table. Welcome to Old Time Radio Essentials. If this is your first time joining us, I must inform you that this is episode 18, our second annual Thanksgiving special. My name is Pete.
This is Dave.
And I'm Paul.
The purpose of our show is to present specific episodes of our favorite old-time radio series, episodes that stand out as particularly representative of those series, or as one of those quotable episodes that fans of old radio like to discuss, either in person or on social media.
We'll open each episode by introducing the selection, describing it briefly, and then we'll play it for you. Then we'll come back at the end and discuss it at length, each of us giving their opinions on its merit, its performances, or anything that stands out for us.
And that's exactly what we're presenting to you. Just our opinions on whether or not it's worthy of a place in every old-time radio aficionado's personal collection. You don't have to agree with us. In fact, we may not agree with each other. But we do hope you'll enjoy what we bring to the table and come back for more.
Each of us three will take turns selecting a show for discussion. Last month's choice was mine, and that was an episode of Escape, The Fall of the House of Usher, just in case you missed it. This month, it's back to Paul for his choice. So what do you have for us, Paul?
This month, for Thanksgiving, I decided to do a little traditional, a little not traditional. So it is a Thanksgiving episode, but it's Life with Luigi, a fellow Italian. He's an Italian immigrant who essentially the basis is he's writing letters home to his mother, telling him how he's finding things in America and all his interactions with a lot of other immigrants in that, and trying to meld into a typical American.
In my notes, it says here that that was created by Cy Howard, who had earlier created the hit radio comedy My Friend Oima. Other characters on the show included Pasquale, another Italian immigrant who's always trying to trap Luigi into marrying his daughter Rosa, Miss Spaulding, Luigi's night school teacher and ideal woman, and Schultz, a German immigrant and fellow student in Luigi's citizenship class. Each episode used the framing device, as you said, of Luigi narrating a letter to his mother back in Italy. And so, without further delay, we present Thanksgiving Celebration, from November 22nd, 1949, and Life with Luigi.
And now, friends, adjust your radio dials to the proper frequency. Get comfortable and listen.
By Cy Howard and starring that celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carroll Nash, with Alan Reed as Pasquale. When Luigi Vasco left Italy to start his new life in America, he promised his mother that he would write and tell her about his adventures. So now let's read Luigi's letter as he writes to Mama Basco in it.
Dear Mamma Mia, right now everybody in this country is celebrating a Thanksgiving. This is a holiday, right, American man, the butcher. Mamma mia, I wish you could be here now to see how everybody is so friendly and nice and happy. When you walk down the street now, everybody's got a big smile on their face. Except maybe a few turkeys. The reason the day is not happy is because Thanksgiving is to celebrate the landing of the pilgrims. When the pilgrims is the first to come here, they was looking for something to eat, so they shot the wild turkeys. Of course, most of the housewives wish the pilgrims would have shot the pork chops. Because that's 30 cents a pound of cheap. But so far, Mamma Mia, I'm got no plans for my Thanksgiving. But I'm sure my friend Pasquale, he's going to invite me to his spaghetti palace for private dinner tomorrow night. After all, no matter how mean Pasquale is act sometime, underneath he's got a heart as big as his daughter Rosa. Well, I'll finish this letter later because it's the time I should have gone out to my night school class. Mamma Mia, I wish you could see my beautiful teacher, Miss Spalding. She's got a blonde hair, blue eyes, nice. Well, so far this year, I'm never come late to class.
Quiet class, please, please. I'll call the roll. Mr. Basco?
Here.
Mr. Howard?
Here.
Mr. Olson?
Here.
Mr. Schultz?
Gobble, gobble.
Mr. Schultz, I presume you're imitating a turkey.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
All right, Mr. Schultz, control yourself.
Impossible. In this season, a turkey has got to lose his head.
Well, Mr. Schultz, since you're so full of the holiday spirit, perhaps you can answer some of the history questions I've prepared about Thanksgiving.
Me and my big mouth.
You may tell us, what year did the pilgrims arrive in America?
Miss Spalding, that question is so simple, I'm ashamed to answer it.
Well, all right. What year did the pilgrims arrive?
1776.
1776? Mr. Schultz, you should be ashamed of yourself.
That's what I said. I'm ashamed to answer it.
All right, class. Now, who can give me the correct date?
1789.
1812.
1492.
1610.
Shift.
Mr. Schultz, Mr. Olson, you had the correct date.
I didn't hear him say 1492.
Mr. Schultz, the answer is 1620. Now, Columbus came here about 125 years before the pilgrims. There's absolutely no connection between those two events.
No connection? Miss Spalding, what are you saying? If Columbus hadn't discovered America, the pilgrims would have got here in 1620, stepped off the boat, and fell right into the ocean.
Please. Now, class, does anybody besides Mr. Olson know the name of the boat that brought the pilgrims here? Oh, come now. The name of the boat is Mr. Harwin?
The name of the boat is Mr. Horowitz.
No, no, no. I'll give you a hint. It begins with May. The May...
I know. The Maypole.
No.
Miss Spalding, if you wish, I could tell you the name of the boat, the day they left, how many people was in it, and exactly where they landed.
Himmel, a British spy.
Miss Spalding, are you going to have a nice big turkey tomorrow night?
Well, yes, Mr. Howard.
Good.
Every Thanksgiving, I take a train ride home and enjoy a real Thanksgiving dinner with my family.
Ach, Miss Spalding, there's nothing like being home with your loved ones on Thanksgiving.
John Benjamin, you should see the turkey my wife is making with cranberry jelly and candied yams. Oh, so juicy.
Mr. Basco, you haven't said anything. Where are you celebrating Thanksgiving?
Me? I'm having a dinner with my countryman, Pasquale. He's invited me to eat with him. It's going to be so much food. He's told me he's going to have the biggest turkey in the town.
Yeah, Rosa. you forget, Pasquale. Come on and eat with me.
Esther and me would be very happy to have you eat with us. Come on, Luigi, will you?
Luigi, I would be honored if you helped us eat our turkey.
No, stop, everybody. If Luigi has got to get into Cheshire tonight, I got first call.
No, please, everybody, thanks for inviting me. But, well, Pasquale is brought me here from the old country. He's a watch after me. He's know my family, and I want very much to eat with him.
Mr. Schultz, Mr. Basco has his mind made up. Let him eat with Mr. Pasquale.
All right, Luigi. But one thing I got to warn you to look out for.
What, Schultz?
When you sit down by the table and Pasquale offers you the appetizer, take. When he gives you the soup, take. And the turkey also, you take. But when he points to Rosa and says, Luigi, take some stuffing, that's the time to go on a diet. Wait for me.
Oh, sure,
sir. Oh, listen to me. I'm puffing like the last donkey on the mule train. Listen, Luigi, I didn't want to say nothing in class,
But you didn't fool me.
What?
I could tell the way from you was talking that Pasquale didn't invite you for Thanksgiving.
I'm sure, say, he's just forgot. I'm sure he's going to invite me.
When? On Christmas? Now, look, why don't you come and eat with me and my happy little family, huh? Oh, what fun we got around the table. We got me, my wife, my three children, my brother Ludwig, my cousin Hugo, my uncle Chuck, his six kids, my three nephews, my grandfather Wolfgang, his girlfriend, and the rest of the family.
No, no, thank you, Schultz. Besides, there's too many people for one turkey.
Oh, no, stop. This year we got a turkey twice as big as last year.
How big is it?
6 pounds.
But, Schultz, how is it possible for so many people to eat the one smaller turkey?
Who eats? All night long we got at the wishbone party. We all sit around and wish for a bone. Oh, smile, Luigi. I'm just making fun.
Schultz, you're such a good friend not to worry about me. But I'm sorry, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, but Pasquale didn't invite you yet.
Schultz, I'm no Pasquale. He's purposely not inviting me because he wants I should ask him before he's asking me. So when he's inviting me, it's going to sound like I was begging him when all the time I'm going to...
No, no,
him
stop. You're getting me all for shimmers. I gotta go now, Luigi. But if Pasquale don't invite you, don't be ashamed. Come to me, huh?
All right, sure.
And smile, Luigi. Smile. Remember, a smile is just like glass wax. You wipe it on, you wipe it off. So be like me, always laughing. Ooh. Oh, my rheumatism.
Mamma mia, I'm sure Pasquale is going to invite me. But maybe not. Maybe yes. Could be no. I'm a better stop. I'm getting myself all of a shimmel.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale. Hello.
Hello. How's it with you, huh?
All right.
Hey, what are we laughing about?
Well, I'm guessing it's the holiday spirit of Pasquale.
Holiday? Oh, yes. Well, if you'll excuse me, Luigi, I'm going to go back and see how my turkeys are coming along.
Oh, it's Pasquale.
Huh? What do you want, Luigi?
Happy Thanksgiving, Pasquale.
Same to you. Goodbye.
Pasquale.
What?
Thanks for bringing me to America.
Don't thank me. Thank the boat.
Pasquale.
Huh?
He's a big turkey.
You should have seen it. That's a reminder me, Luigi. I was thinking to ask you something about it tonight.
Pasquale, your answer is a yes.
Good. We send out the wedding invitation to right away. You said a yes. I'm a witness. I was asking you to marry my daughter, Rosa.
Pasquale, please, not talk to Rosa now. Let's talk a turkey.
Luigi, when I'm a talking to you about a Rosa, I'm a talking a turkey.
But Pasquale.
But the nut. Oh, Luigi, you should have seen how it was a waddle around yesterday on those two big fat legs.
Rosa?
No, the turkey. Look, Luigi, she's crazy for you. Why you don't sneak up behind her, put your hands around her neck, and give her a nice big kiss?
The turkey?
No, Rosa.
Pasquale, please, I was coming to your store to talk about a Thanksgiving.
All right. I'm going to give you something to be thankful about. You marry my Rosa, I'm going to give you a cash reward.
Cash reward?
Yes. It's what they call in America diary. On your wedding night, I'm going to give you $1,000. Roses will weigh 250 pounds. That's mean you're getting $4 a pound.
What a Pasquale.
$4 a pound, Luigi. Think of it. That's twice as much as England is a pay for the pound. Well, what do you say, Luigi? Say yes, you got $1,000 on the barrel ahead. Well?
Pasquale, keep your barrel ahead.
Oh, Luigi, you are sorry specimens of a human being.
What do you mean, Pasquale?
After all, without me, you wouldn't be in America.
Well, Pasquale, I'm grateful to you for that.
You wouldn't be able to enjoy the four freedoms. A freedom from a poverty, ignorance, a fear, freedom from a want, What more could you ask for?
That's the freedom. Freedom from Russia.
All right, you're smart. Well, tomorrow night you also could enjoy a sixth of freedom.
What's that?
Freedom from a Mike Turkey. Good night.
And now for the second act of Luigi Basco's Adventures in Chicago, we turn to page two of his letter to his mother in Italy.
And so, Mamma Mia, is not Thanksgiving evening. Everybody is suddenly acting so nice and friendly. It's wonderful. But I'm feeling a little lonely. Mamma Mia, you see, Pasquale is no invite to me. Oh, excuse me, Mamma Mia. Maybe it's a Pasquale coming in now. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Basco. Here's using the paper.
Oh, thanks, Danny. Hey, you sell a lot of papers tonight?
Well, not so good, Mr. Basco. Oh. You know, everybody's rushing around. They ain't got no time to read tonight.
All right, then I buy extra paper.
Why, you don't have to.
That's all right. I'm going to wash the floor tomorrow. Hey, Danny. Hey, it's 6 o'clock. Ain't you having a Thanksgiving dinner tonight?
Well, you know I ain't got no folks, and my uncle's working a late shift tonight.
Oh, that's too bad.
Ain't you having no Thanksgiving dinner?
No.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Basco.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, Danny. Hey, Danny, why you rush? Sit down, and maybe we talk a little bit, huh?
Well, I'd like to, but I gotta sell these papers. They're the late edition.
What if they're already late? It don't matter if they're gonna be a little later.
Hey, what's the matter, Mr. Basco? You look a little beat.
Beat?
Yeah, on the ropes.
On the ropes?
You know, pooped.
On the ropes, beat the poops. Hey, sometimes I'm a thinker they teach a different English in a night school and a day school.
That means tired.
Oh, so that's the poops. Well, Danny, maybe that's how I'm a feel. And also maybe a little bit to lunch.
Boy, I know that feeling.
Hey, Danny, how's about you eat a supper with me tonight, huh? You'll be my guest.
Gee, you got a turkey?
No, but I'm gonna buy one. All ready to eat.
Okay, you got a deal.
Huh?
I said you got a deal.
Danny, you're too young to play cards.
I mean, okay, I'll eat turkey with you.
Oh, well, that's good.
Boy, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, Danny. It's like magic. Two lonely people, presto. One little party.
Hey, wait a minute. I got to sell all these papers first.
Hey, Danny, I've got another idea. You help me eat the turkey, I'm helping you sell the papers.
Well, that's Jake with me.
Oh, you got your friend Jake with you.
No, that just means okay.
Good. Well, here, you give me half of your papers. Hey, but now, what am I supposed to yell?
Well, anything, as long as you get them to buy a paper. Well, it's easy. Extra!
Huh?
Listen.
That's the English?
Try it.
What are you about extra? Extra? How was it that?
Great. I didn't understand a word you said. Come on.
What are you like turning up seven a wedding? Another extra?
Hey, mister, is that the last edition?
No, I'm got three papers left.
I mean, is that the morning paper?
Huh? How could it be the morning paper if it's still a night or not?
Are you kidding? I always get my morning paper the night before.
You mean it before something is happening? You already reading about it?
Never mind. Let's have a paper.
Sure. And happy Thanksgiving it to you.
Hey, Mr. Basco, how you doing?
Fine, Danny. I've only got the one paper left.
Well, I only got one, too. Well, hurry up and sell it.
Oh, my God, hurry. Hey, what a start doing a way to extra the president, sir. President is a declared war.
Hey, mister.
You want a paper?
Did you say the president declared war?
Sure, here's the paper.
Okay, here. Hey, where does it say the president declared war?
Well, right here, you see? President declares a war on the prices.
Happy Thanksgiving, mister.
Well, I'm a soldier at the paper.
Well, how you doing, Mr. Basco?
Well, soldier, Danny. All the soldier. Come on, Danny. Now we go to the store to buy the turkey. Hey, where did I get to your turkey?
Yeah, Can I do something for you?
Please, I'm interested to buy that roasted turkey you got in the window. How much does it cost?
$18.
Mamma mia.
Wow.
Please, maybe you got a little smaller one?
Oh, how much did you want to spend?
$2.
Are you kidding? No self-respecting turkey would take his feathers off for less than $10.
But I never thought the turkeys costed so much.
Look, mister, you're not buying just a raw bird. That $18 turkey in the window would cost so much because we clean it and dress it.
You clean it and dress it?
Yeah. Looks beautiful, don't it?
Hey, look, mister, I'm still got a $2. Give me a turkey that ain't going to a party.
You're joking.
I'm not.
You want my dollar?
No, Johnny. No, Danny. Here. Please, mister, we like it to celebrate the thanks together. What are we going to buy here for $2?
Well, come on over here. We'll see what we can do.
Mmm, it smells good, huh, Danny?
Mmm, good.
Such a beautiful hot dog. Hey, Danny, we got everything under the table?
Yeah, baked beans, bread, a potato salad, coleslaw, pickles, spud nuts, and milk.
Mommy, what the feast. Happy Thanksgiving, Danny.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Basco.
Well, I'm beginning to carve now.
Mr. Basco, how can you carve a hot dog? It's not a turkey.
Hey, Danny, you know what's inside a hot dog?
No.
Anybody else know what's inside a hot dog?
No.
Well, I'm a no. It's a turkey. Now, which part do you want, Danny? White to meat or the black to meat?
Well, you're the host, Mr. Basco. You take first pick.
Oh, no, Danny, you're my guest. Please.
All right, I'll take the dark meat.
Good. That's the only kind we got. Well, Danny, here. You take one drumstick, I'm going to take the other drumstick.
Okay. Mmm, this is good. Pass some mustard.
You mean the cranberry sauce?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's your champagne.
Oh, the milk.
Look at the vintage, Danny. Sparkling Guernsey, 1929. What is it to you, Hal? Are you?
Tally up. What's so funny?
The bubbles is a tickle in my nose.
Huh?
Ain't this a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner, Danny? Is there anything else you could want?
Well, yeah.
What's that?
I wish we had turkey.
Oh, Danny, I'm gonna know how you feel. But let me tell you something. Lots of things in a life is depend on how you look on them, how you feel about them. Like they say, it's what's in your mind.
In your mind?
Sure. Everything depends on the way you think. You want to be big, you are big. You want to be king, you can be a king. Of course, that's not so good. You never know how long you're going to last. But, Danny, look on that chair over there. Ain't that the most beautiful sofa, the most expensive material that you ever saw?
Huh?
Look hard and think.
Yeah.
And look on those walls. Queen of forest, Danny. Beautiful trees. Blue sky. Most wonderful spot that you ever saw.
Yeah.
And now look on the table, Danny. Look. Ain't that the most beautiful feast anybody could ever have, no matter how much money they would spend?
Mr. Basco?
Yes, sir, Danny.
Can I have the wishbone? Oh, boy, what a meal that was.
Yeah, I'm so full, I'm a good bust. Hey, you know, I'm glad that Pasquale didn't invite me to his dinner.
Well, why didn't he, Mr. Basco?
Well, we just have a difference of opinion.
How much of a difference?
250 pounds. Well, Danny, it's late now. You better go home and go to sleep.
Okay, Mr. Basco, and thanks for everything. You know, last year some society people threw a Thanksgiving party for the newsboys. Well, I hated it. Nothing but a bunch of stuffed shirts.
Stuff the church.
Yeah.
That's a strange country. And a Thanksgiving, besides the stuff on the turkeys, they also stuff the church.
Well, good night, Mr. Basco. I had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Me too, Danny.
Whew. Oh, Maria, I'm so full of a Thanksgiving. I'm not going to touch a bite to the Christmas.
Luigi, you should be ashamed of yourself.
How do I say?
Schultz told me Pasquale didn't invite you. So here, my wife has to send you a turkey leg with all the trimmings.
But how do I say?
No talk, you look starved. You got to eat.
How do I say?
Eat, eat.
Ooh. I'm going to feel like my stomach is a wet ton. The hot the dogs. Then of the Horowitz turkey.
Oh, Luigi, just as I thought, you are all alone.
Oh, sir, I'm all alone, but to believe me, is not like you think.
Schultz told me Pasquale didn't invite you, so I brought you some turkey in this bag.
Oh, sir, please.
Stop begging. I'll have the food ready here in a second. Yeah, come on, now eat this.
Oh. Oh, I'm feeling so full. I'm going to hardly stand up. I'm going to think I'm better lock up my door.
Luigi, my fellow boober. Happy Thanksgiving.
All that depends. Sure, so what's in it at the big bag?
Turkey!
Oh!
You're going out of your mind from hunger. You poor little hermit. You were sitting here praying your friend Schultz would walk in with a turkey, huh?
Schultz, from now on, anybody who's walking is look like a turkey. Please, my insides.
Don't tell me I can see. Starvation is already bloating up your stomach. Come on, I feed you myself. Come on, I feed you myself. Come on, open up the mouth wide.
That's the three turkeys. The hot the dogs. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to take off my clothes. I think I'm going to sleep right under the table.
Luigi! Oh, poor Luigi. Look, laying on the floor, weak from hunger. Poor fella, he's a hiccup from an empty stomach. Luigi, I was a mean man, but I'm going to make up to you.
Pasquale, please, be mean. Don't make up to me.
Luigi, you saying that because you're angry with me, and I'm to blame.
No, Pasquale, I'm not angry. I'm sick.
You're sick? Only one thing to cure that, the fool.
Oh, no.
Luigi, I apologize for the way I'm treating you, but I brought you something to cheer you up.
Turkey?
No, Rosa.
That's the first time in my life I'm glad to see Rosa.
Good, then I'm going to call her in. Rosa! Rosa! Rosa!
You called me, Papa!
Yes. Yes, I'm going to call you, my little pumpkin pie. Rosa, say hello to Luigi.
Hello, Luigi.
Hello, Rosa.
Rosa, we was a mean to Luigi, but we're going to make up right now, ain't we?
Don't tell me.
Yes, Luigi, we brought you something to
eat. I don't think I'm going to hold anymore.
Then, Rosa, be quick. Luigi, Thanksgiving, everybody's a talk about a turkey. You must be sick about hearing about turkey.
How you know?
So we didn't bring you any.
Oh, Pasquale. Pasquale, you're wonderful.
Instead, we got a surprise.
Surprise?
Rosa, open up the pot to show it.
Look, Luigi.
Mamma mia, back to the hot dogs. And so, Mamma Mia, it's harder for me to tell you exactly how I'm going to celebrate the Thanksgiving. It was a good and a bad, happy and a sad. But one thing I'm sure, I'm going to finally celebrate the Thanksgiving like a real American, holding my stomach. You're loving a son, Luigi Vasco, the little immigrant.
Describing his adventures in America. Fight with Luigi is a Cy Howard production. It is written by Mack Benoff and Lou Derman and directed by Mack Benoff. Jade Carol Nash is starred as Luigi Vasco with Alan Reed as Pasquale, Hans Conried as Schultz, Mary Shipp as Miss Spaulding, Jody Gilbert as Rosa, Joe Forte as Horowitz, and Ken Peters as Olsen. Music is under the direction of Lud Gluskin. Bob Stevenson speaking. Be sure to listen next Tuesday at the same time when Luigi has as his special guest Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's new singing sensation, the star of That Midnight Kiss, Mario Lanza. Stay tuned now for Escape. This is CBS for Columbia Broadcasting System.
We're back with Old Time Radio Essentials. This is Pete with Dave and Paul. That was Thanksgiving Celebration, an episode of Life with Luigi, originally broadcast November 22nd, 1949 on CBS. Paul, this was your selection for this installment. What made you choose it?
Well, like I said before, it's a good Thanksgiving episode, as in he's touching all the things, because everything after the war, everybody just wanted it to be, so I don't want to say sappy, but they wanted to really wrap themselves in a blanket of comfort and Americana and everything and just enjoy that. Because, I mean, they had the Depression before, and then they had war, and now things were going great. You know, the economy was booming and everybody was doing all right. And so they just wanted to enjoy the hell out of it. And so they just really wanted to have everything tasting of that, for lack of a better term. And so I think this episode does encapsulate that, along with how everyone back in the day when they would come to America, that was their thing, was I'm going to be an American. How do Americans do this? So that's why, you know, you got this guy who's just fresh over from Italy. No, we got to get some turkey. I got to get us some turkey to have. We got to have it a turkey to be a Thanksgiving, you know? And so that's, you know, everybody's fixated on that. And that's what they're really shooting for. And he does a really good job in, you know, telling his mother what's going on and everything. And then just the interaction with all the different people in his life, mostly in his school where he's learning English. And the German immigrant is my favorite, Hans Conried. Oh,
yes.
My God. Everybody, if people are going to go, I know that he sounds familiar. And as soon as you see his face, you go, oh, geez, I've seen him in a dozen things at least,
yeah.
You know? He was in so much, and he does such a wonderful job. And I just thought it was an excellent episode. So, that's it.
Well, I agree. Hans Conried could do any character voice. He played from Germans as Schultz, French. He played Italians himself. He played Russians. He could do any sort of character voice. But the star of it, we haven't mentioned his name at all. That's
him.
J. Carroll Nash playing Luigi. So he was really wonderful in this role. I enjoyed it. He never slipped. His Italian accent, while comical, was always there, which was good. It made it more heartwarming. I like the story itself, what he's going to do for Thanksgiving dinner, what he ends up doing. You know, he's gets in a fight with Pasquale, which was so funny. Really, the way he constantly twists things around to get him to marry Rosa, and when he said no, he said, "Well, you're not going to come to dinner." But overall, it was a lot of fun to listen to. I enjoyed it.
So this was my first foray into the Life with Luigi universe, and I had a lot of fun. This is a program I've been aware of about as long as I've been listening to old-time radio shows, and for whatever reason, I just never went to the trouble of actually listening to it. So, yeah, I got to thank Paul for bringing it to the table this time, because I thought it was just enjoyable, and I mean, obviously, it's a comedy, but I thought some of the scenes in the middle and toward the end of the story were oddly kind of touching. Like, you know, him and the young boy, I think was his name, Danny. A lot of the banter they had.
Newspaper kid, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the newspaper kid. Yeah, I thought it was just like a real enjoyable exchange between those two. And when they're at the butcher's shop and they've got their $2 and they're trying to have Thanksgiving on a budget, I thought that was
The dogs.
It was kind of sad and tragic in a way, but obviously the tone of the program makes you see kind of the more lighthearted aspects of it. And then at the end, when everyone kind of comes and checks on him and everyone's bringing him food, I thought that was like really, it just, yeah, it was like just a nice, nice holiday touch. It was like a nice, you know, a nice end to a story that, you know, for a few minutes anyway, was almost kind of tragic in a way. Look, the guy can't afford to buy Thanksgiving dinner, and he's also taking care of this kid who's even more down and out than he is.
And he helps him sell his newspapers.
Yeah.
To raise enough money.
That was one of the funniest jokes, is when he just intuitively knows, like, oh, if I just lie, you know, I'll just say there's a war, and, you know, everyone will come over and start buying newspapers.
Look, the president declares a war on the poverty. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. But that and like the some of the early lines between him and the young boy, Danny, I think there was the one about something about the late edition newspaper and just like, you know, them not just the breakdown of communication between like an Italian immigrant and a kid who's using all this slang and idioms,
right?
that
was fun.
Understand, but he's doing his best, and you know, I thought that was a real cute exchange.
Atina, what I teach you at the day school is different than the stuff they teach me at the night school.
Yeah, it's fun. That was a lot of fun to listen to.
I like the hey, is that the morning edition? No, it's not. This is evening. but is that the morning edition? What do you mean? You get the news of what's going on in the morning, the night before, so you know what's going to happen? I mean, they were, in some regard, some of the jokes were kind of old and stale, you know, but back then they were fresh.
Yeah, they were newer back then.
Yeah, they were much newer back in the 40s.
Well, that's something that's kind of interesting to consider, is like how comedy ages. And I think personally, like, I don't go back and listen to a lot of old-time radio comedy, or at least I haven't the last decade or so. I listened to a lot of Jack Benny as a kid, and as I got older, I kind of just sort of leaned more into the drama programs. But yeah, since joining this podcast, I'm coming to appreciate the comedies a little bit more. You know, I've been on an R. Miss Brooks kick for a while, and now I really want to dive into Life with Luigi, because I think it's another, you know, gem of OTR comedy. Some of the jokes might seem corny, but I think you know, if you go in trying to look at it in like the right context, understand that it's a different time. Jokes were a little bit delivered a little bit differently than they are now. They might seem, you know, corny to modern ears, but if you go in and just try to enjoy it, I think you'll have a good time with this program.
I think so too.
It sounds like we have another kind of calling in life, and that is to introduce our partner to more smiles and laughs and maybe rainbows.
It could be. Yeah, for sure. That could be. Although he did bring us R. Miss Brooks, so he did us a comedy a couple months ago. So that was good. I recommend Fibber McGee and Molly as well. I'm going to be bringing I promised one for October, but then we had to have our Halloween thing. So I think I'll eventually bring us a Fibber McGee and Molly show. And I think you really like that, Dave. It's
I might be showing my ignorance here, but is Great Gildersleeve and Fibber McGee and Molly, is one of those a spinoff of the other? Or?
Gildersleeve was a spinoff of Fibber McGee and Molly. Now, I haven't listened to a lot. Now, that's another one. I haven't listened to any episodes of Great Gildersleeve, and haven't listened to maybe one episode of Fibber McGee and Molly with Gildersleeve in it. Okay. But that's for another day. So
yeah.
One thing I did notice, I've listened to quite a few episodes of Life with Luigi, and I think I must have listened to an older one. Or a newer one later in the series, rather, because this one is from 1949 and the show started in 1948. Luigi's voice was really high pitched in this one, and I've seemed to remember a much lower pitch to his voice. So it must have been when he was a little older and he'd been in the role for a while, and his he allowed his voice to change, I guess, because it's really hard to maintain a high-pitched voice like that. So if it were me trying to do Luigi in that high-pitched voice, I would have such a headache by the end of the show. I really would. Now, I've heard J. Carroll Nash's voice, and it was naturally gravelly, like Paul's and mine. You know, it's more of a bass than a tenor.
Mm-hmm. Gravelly?
I'm only pointing this out because it sounded odd to me, sounded weird that his voice would be so high-pitched. Still, you know, entertaining. I like Pasquale. You know, Trivia question. Alan Reed played Pasquale. What other famous character is Alan Reed known for?
No idea.
Paul?
I know I'm going to kick myself after you tell us, but I can't.
Fred Flintstone.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you listen to him again, if you listen to this again or listen to any other future episodes, you're going to be able to pick out Alan Reed's voice, and you'll be able to say, yeah, I can see how he also played Fred Flintstone, because it was...
Well, listen, it's a Fred Flintstone-y.
Alan Reed also was on the Fred Allen Show, and he played Falstaff Openshaw, who was like a poet. So Alan Reed was really skilled as well. He could do Englishmen. He could do Italians like Pasquale. He could do any sort of American accent. Radio had the best. I'm telling you, radio had the best voice actors.
Well, they had the face for it.
You can put in movie stars and bring the people in with famous movie stars, but it was the character actors who really made the show. J. Carroll Nash, Alan Reed, Hans Conried, Paul Frees, who was the narrator of last month's Fall of the House of Usher, and so on. So those are my guys. Those are my guys. Mel Blanc, of course. Anyway, we keep veering from this, but that's the way things go in this show. We talk about one thing, it leads us to talk about another thing.
You may have answered this in the introduction, but did Nash play Luigi for the whole run of the series, or were there different actors?
No, he played Luigi for the full run, and when they shifted to TV for, I think, one season, he played Luigi in that as well. I think everybody in the cast transferred over to the TV show.
Yes.
But it was just one season, 1952 to 1953, and they were still on radio at the same time, because the radio show ran from 48 to 53, and the TV show was on from 52 to 53.
I found it interesting when I was reading up on this about the TV show, how it only lasted one season, and it's because they got in trouble with, what was it, the Italian-American Society or something like that, for like the, you know, severe stereotyping and things, and I'm like, wow. Back then, even. I can imagine it now. I mean, they wouldn't have made it past the pilot, for pity's sake.
Yeah, you know, why couldn't they? Why didn't they complain during the radio run? Is it because they couldn't see him?
It's the same people doing the same stuff. Why now?
I don't know. But overall, good show, really. Lots of fun to listen to. I like the little boy. And his sweetness and how Luigi's heart went out to him, and the two of them shared, like Dave was saying, they shared their meager Thanksgiving fare, but it didn't matter what they were eating. They were together and they were celebrating the holiday, which is really, you know, what that sort of thing is all about. You know, it really is.
Oh God, Dave, there he goes again.
It was a very touching episode. I don't blame you for crying.
So it was nice. Good choice, Paul. Good choice.
Okay, let's vote. What are we voting on, dear listener? As a reminder, we are voting on, one, whether this particular episode is a true representative installment of the overall series, and B, whether or not it is a standalone show that belongs in every radio aficionado's collection. And again, Paul, this was your selection, so you go first.
All right, I will. Well, obviously, I find it hard to believe. I'd like to go back through all our series to find out if anybody has ever, you know, been the one who brought in the episode and then voted against it.
I think Jane did for that Lights Out episode.
Yeah. And I think it was brought in for that purpose, I think.
Probably.
But it was a good episode. Like I said, for me, it had all the warmth that you wanted, you know, and that you expected in this, you know, post-World War II era, you know, when everyone was really embracing that stuff. And the comedy was, you know, fresh then, and the characters were all really good. The voices were excellent. I just thought it was a very good overall show, and I thought it was indicative of the series. So I give it a thumbs up.
All right, good. For me, I agree with Paul. It was very sweet, very funny, just a classic comedy of the 40s. Really, really good. The characters in it are wonderful. Not only do you have Hans Conried, but J. Carroll Nash playing Luigi. And now, believe it or not, this guy was of Irish extraction. His parents were Irish immigrants. But to look at him with his black hair and his swarthy features, and he used to sport a pencil-thin mustache sometimes, he looked Italian. Now, an argument could be raised again for the stereotypes, but really, it wasn't, in my opinion, this was not making fun of them. It wasn't belittling them. It wasn't making them the butts of jokes. They were making the jokes themselves, and they were all getting along. And then the classroom, you've got the German guy and the American, whatever other nationalities are there. They're all arguing over what year the pilgrims landed and so on. It was just hilarious. And then you've got Schmidt saying gobble gobble. So the way they looked after each other at the end, they all checked in on Luigi, they all brought him food, and even Pasquale, it showed Americans, new Americans, old Americans, or native-born Americans, rather, getting along with each other. I like that it's set in Chicago and not New York, because Chicago isn't really looked upon as a melting pot, except the Polish neighborhoods, right? But it is, you know, immigrants came to Chicago the same way they came to New York. So I like that it's set in Chicago. So overall, top-notch comedy, top-notch story. It's a really nice thing where the premise is that he's writing a letter to his mother, and so he's, you know, being a sweet, devoted son as well. So I give it thumbs up.
Well, it's hard for me to answer the first question because, as I mentioned before, this is the only Life with Luigi episode I've heard. So I really can't say whether it's representative. I will say that it's good and enjoyable, and it belongs in any OTR aficionados collection. But yeah, I need to explore this series some more before I can speak to whether or not it's representative, because I haven't listened to any others. So
that's fair. Yeah.
So that's two yay votes, one abstention, and I think everyone agrees that it's in it belongs in every radio drama fan's collection.
Well, that's good. That's good. I think we can all agree on that. It's beloved. Even today, it's a beloved series with collectors. So good.
Well, okay, great. This brings us to the end of episode 18 of Old Time Radio Essentials, our Thanksgiving special with Pete Lutz, Dave Feldman, and me, Paul RBC. Next time, the cycle comes around to Dave. And what's your choice for next month, Dave? Do you have a Christmas-themed show for us?
I do, actually. I did some poking around, and I found an episode from probably my favorite old-time radio Western, The Six Shooter with James Stewart. The episode is called Britt Ponsett's Christmas Carol, and I think everyone's going to enjoy it.
Well, excellent. I like Western, so that's a good choice. So that's next month.
We all probably vote that we like Jimmy Stewart.
Jock. Absolutely, yeah. So that's next month on Old Time Radio Essentials. Paul, Dave, tell the masses what they need to know.
Old Time Radio Essentials is a production of 63 Audio, a proud member of the Mutual Audio Network. Subscribe on Apple or any other podcatcher you may use by searching under Mutual Audio Network and or Narada Radio Company.
You can like us on Facebook at Mutual Audio Fans and at Narada Radio Company Fans and Friends. On Twitter, at Essentials Old. If you want to suggest a future episode, write us at f6.3@gmail.com. That's the letter F, the number 6, the word point, POINT, and the number 3 at gmail.com. Put the word essentials in the subject line.
Remember, friends, we're always happy to hear from our listeners, so please do send us feedback and more suggestions. And if you didn't catch our email when Dave spelled it out, look for it in the show notes. I want to inform you that in addition to the next episode of Old Time Radio Essentials, my troupe of actors, the Narada Radio Company, we'll be launching 3 new Christmas-themed programs in December, one each during the first 3 Sundays of the month. The first 2 are old-time radio recreations, and for the 3rd, we'll be dipping into the Jake Dimes Range Detective wellspring and bringing you a heartfelt Christmas tale featuring the main characters of my award-winning Western serial, plus a few new ones. So that's actually two Westerns in December, one brought to us by Dave with the Brit Ponce's Christmas Carol, and my new Jake Dimes show. And that the title of that one is Santa's Stolen Toy Sack. So please join us for these new programs, won't you? They'll be featured on the Mutual Audio Network starting the first Sunday in December. Okay, it's time to wrap things up. So that's it for now, everybody. Join us next time for another fun installment of Old Time Radio Essentials. Bye-bye for now, and happy Thanksgiving!
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. Take care.
Wait a minute.
63 Audio.
This is Mutual.
There are a number of everyday precautions that we can all take that may help to slow down the spread of the coronavirus. The first is to make sure to clean your hands often. Now, washing your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds is the best, but if you don't have that, try to use a hand sanitizer that has at least 60% alcohol. And to the extent possible, avoid touching high-touch surfaces in public places. These are things like elevator buttons, door handles, handrails, or of course, handshaking with people. Wash your hands after touching surfaces in public places. Avoid touching your face, your nose, and your eyes. And clean and disinfect your home to remove germs, practicing routine cleaning of frequently touched surfaces like tables, doorknobs, light switch handles will make a difference. Avoid crowds, especially in poorly ventilated spaces. All these small things that we can do may help to slow down the spread of the coronavirus. For more information, go to cdc.gov and be well, everyone.